I'm John Batchelor with Bill Raggio, my colleague and friend. We are co-hosting his colleague, Ahmad Shaarawy, who's been watching very carefully Syria for some time and helped us to understand a completely non-transparent state that is broken, failed state, if not just from the revolt that began more than a decade and a half ago, but also from decades of abuse by the Assad regime. Now we come to the territory of Syria. Ahmad, I know the map well. Turkey to the north, Russia to the west, Israel to the south, the U.S. and Iran to the west. Those powers do not, at this point, come forward and say, well, everything's good. They've got a president. We're going home. What is your expectation about any or all of them as they watch al-Shara?
Let me start with Israel. Since December 8th, since the fall of the Assad regime, Israel has taken parts of southern Syria as part of a demilitarized zone, and they're currently engaging in negotiations with the Syrian government to sign a security agreement that will, guarantee Israel's security concerns, potentially demilitarize southern Syria, and also protect the Druze community in Suweida, in southwest Syria. There were reports that the agreement will be signed last week as part of the UN General Assembly high-level meetings, but seems like there's been some hurdles during the negotiations, primarily a humanitarian corridor that the Israelis want to build or want to create through going from the Golan Heights to Suweida. Let me just comment on the feasibility of such a proposal is that such corridor will have to pass through a province named Daraa, called Daraa, which is predominantly Sunni, has 2 million inhabitants. And thus the feasibility of such corridor, or at least anyone who will be transporting aid through that corridor, will be threatened by the presence of armed militias that are operating in that area. Moving west to the Alawites, we saw back in March there was an attempted insurgency from some of the pro-Assad remnants, and then what followed was a massacre done by government-aligned troops. Since then, we've seen minor clashes between some of these remnants and government forces. But the Russians still maintain their bases, and they're also negotiating with the government in Damascus about the future of these bases. Moving to the northeast with the Kurds, again, as I stated, they're in active negotiations with the Syrian government about their integration. The main hurdles have been, first of all, integrate the SDF, which is still a U.S. partner in counterterrorism and counter-ISIS mission. The SDF has resisted integration as individuals into the army and are insisting into integrating as a unit in the Syrian army, and that has been rejected by Shara and his government. There is also a Turkish angle to that. Turkey does not want an autonomous Kurdish region bordering its own area. It's bordering its southwestern border. Turkey also accuses SDF of being the Syrian wing of the PKK, the Kurdistan Workers Party. And so there's been a lot of talk and reports about a potential invasion or limited military action from Turkey against the Kurds. Of course, now the question is, will the Syrian army also join in? The Syrian army is also composed of proxy groups that are still loyal to Turkey, like the Syrian National Army. So we might be seeing a potential clash in the future. On Iran, of course, also northeast Syria hosts about 900 U.S. troops that are actively also working with the SDF to counter ISIS. Iran was the primary influential actor in Syria during the Assad regime's or during the Syrian civil war. It has lost that influence, but it's still trying to use Syrian territory to transport weapons to Hezbollah. We've seen multiple shipments intercepted by the Syrian government that were sent through Iraq to Lebanon in order to help Hezbollah rearm and regenerate. But the Syrian army has been, the Syrian authorities have been actively working against that. But I mean, given what I just stated, you can see how many countries have an interest in Syria. Some of them want to stabilize Syria, and some of them don't. But it's been a mess for the past 10 months, to say the least.
Bill, we have a couple of minutes. You have a quick question for him. That's quite a list.
There sure is, John. Ahmed, there's been a week ago, there were some breathless reports on social media that Muslim soldiers, as they've been described, as I'm assuming they're referring to Shara's troops, have been lighting fire to Christian villages. Is there any truth to these rumors? There's certainly a lot to criticize Shara's regime. Is this something to add to that, or is this just glomming onto him to score some points against Shara?
I don't like using this term, but this is pure fake news.
Yeah.
I mean, these fires have been going on all summer in the Syrian coast. They're typical forest fires. Nothing sectarian about them. Actually, and I mean, most of them were concentrated around Alawite and Turkmen areas, not Christian areas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and we have to be careful to not, you know, pile on with, as you said, this is the perfect.
Absolutely. Example. I mean, there's a lot of negatives about Shara's rule. That wasn't, no.
This isn't one of them. Yeah, we have to be honest.
Yes.
Ahmed Shara. Sharawo for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, Bill Rajo for the FTD. You can see their reporting on Long War Journal, and as Ahmad very carefully went around the circle, there are problems in all directions, and they all meet in Syria.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.